Hey, it's Matt Spiegel. If you or your bed partner have sleep apnea, snoring is likely the worst part of your nightly routine. Once the snoring starts, one of you probably moves to a different room to try and get some sleep alone. CPAP is the first line of therapy for sleep apnea, but studies show about half of the people given a CPAP machine don't even use it. Now, there's a silent, mask-free sleep apnea treatment option keeping couples together in the same room. It's called Inspire. Inspire is an implantable device that works inside your body with your natural breathing process. It delivers mild stimulation throughout the night to keep your airway open, giving you and your partner the restful sleep you need together. Inspire is FDA approved and currently being offered in over 100 leading medical centers across the country. The freedom to sleep like everyone else is just a click away. Visit InspireSleep.com to learn more, review important safety information, and to find a doctor in Chicago who can help you determine if Inspire is right for you. Go to InspireSleep.com. That's InspireSleep.com.
Over 3 million businesses use Indeed.com for hiring. 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. By creating the easiest, most effective hiring experience, we help businesses find great new people every day. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Of the fan for over 25 years. We couldn't have done it without you, the Score listener. Thank you for 25 great years. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR in HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Abaticola. The second-place Wolves are home Sunday. Meet your favorite superhero characters and mascots. The first 1,500 kids get a cape courtesy of the Village of Rosemont. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. We start in the NBA and the Bulls. They host the Golden State Warriors tonight. Tip-off is at 7. Remember, the Warriors are playing without Kevin Durant. The Bulls are 30-30. They hold on to the 7th spot in the East, a game and a half ahead of Detroit. The Warriors sit at 50-10. They've won 7 of their last 10, but they're coming off a road loss to the Wizards. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs officially sign Andrew Bogut. In hockey, the Blackhawks are off today. They host the Islanders tomorrow. Patrick Kane has 10 points in his last 5 games, including a hat trick in last night's 4-1 win over Pittsburgh. AHL, the Wolves host Cleveland Saturday night. Major League Baseball, the Cubs play 2. First pitch in Goodyear, Arizona, just a few minutes away as they take on the Reds. Rob Zestrizny starts. Jason Hayward leads off. Later tonight, Jake Buchanan takes the mound. Almora, Baez, and Bryant batting 1-2-3. Montero behind the plate. That first pitch is 8:05. The White Sox face the Giants with Derek Holland making his spring debut. First pitch at 2:05. Also, Red Sox starter David Price is getting a second opinion on his elbow from Dr. James Andrews. This scoreboard update is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Right now at AutoZone, buy 3 qualifying Gabriel Shocks or Struts and get the 4th one free by mail-in rebate. Instructions and details in store. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, afternoons on The Score.
Peel working hard into the lane. Throws one up and hits. Second 3, here's Morris off the line for Wall. Hands come to their feet at Verizon Center. That's it. The Washington Wizards have defeated the Golden State Warriors.
They still have 3 Olympians on that team, and you know, the 2-time MVP, and they're coming off a loss. You know, obviously the team that's the team to beat in February obviously was our worst month defensively. You know, you look at the splits, our offense has gotten better. You know, when you look at the offensive defensive splits, but you know, we got to find a way to get back to guarding. You know, again, it starts in transition with our team. We've gotten exposed against several teams.
Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes is in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Jason Goff, and you're listening to 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Lawrence, it is time for us to go out to the Home Run In Pizza hotline, be the MVP of your family, and grab a Home Run In Pizza tonight. That is where we find Anthony Slater. You can follow him on Twitter, at Anthony V. Slater. He covers the Golden State Warriors for the San Jose Mercury News, and he is in town to do so tonight. Anthony, how you doing?
Good, guys. You know, I always love being in Chicago. Cool city.
Well, we like hearing that. It's a great city. And we're, you know, it's, I mean, San Francisco and Oakland are all right, too. But we're glad that you have the opportunity to come visit with us. So how is everyone feeling out there in the Bay after seeing Kevin Durant is gone for a little while?
You know, more relieved than you'd think, because there was a thought that night that it was going to be potentially a season ender. You know, the locker room in D.C. was really kind of morbid in there. And now you're hearing that, it's because Bob Myers came out yesterday and said there was about a 15-30 minute window where they thought it was worse. It sounds like they thought his tibia might have been fractured, but ends up just being a bone bruise, the MCL sprain. 4 weeks is kind of when they're saying they'll reevaluate him. I expect it to linger to 5-6 type, you know, 7 weeks. We'll see how he responds. But as long as they know they're going to get him back at some point this season, they still feel like they're the, you know, favorites to win it all.
He is one of the guys that is in the top 5 or 6 if you're talking about MVP. But have they been with him long enough that missing him will be noticeable, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, I mean, especially defensively. When they got Durant, they let go of, you know, Bogut and Azeli and a lot of their shot-blocking interior presence, and that was supposed to be an issue this year. But instead, Durant comes in, and he's averaging nearly 2 blocks a game, and they're number one in the league in shot blocks. And their defense has not really, you know, taken a step back this season. A lot of that's him, not just the shot blocking, but his ability as a seven-footer to get out on the perimeter, to switch on to people. That's such an underrated part of his game where, yes, he is obviously a four-time scoring champ and can do so much offensively, but they have Steph Curry, who's a scoring champ. They have Klay Thompson, who can go off for 60 points at any time, basically. Draymond Green, playmaker. Those guys can shoulder the offensive load. They still have 3 all-stars, plus a Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, basically the core of a team that won 73 games last year. But you will see them miss Durant. I mean, how can you not?
How were they able to absorb Durant and figure out how many and who was going to take shots?
I mean, basically, it was Klay Thompson saying, and he said it publicly, I'm not sacrificing bleep, and he hasn't. I mean, Klay Thompson's shooting the same amount of shots. He's still getting big points. Steph Curry's the one, I think, that took the biggest statistical dip, especially in December. He struggled in December, and it culminated in on the Christmas game in Cleveland when they lost, and Curry only had 11 shots. He was, like, a non-factor, got pulled late in the game, and really – you know, him and Steve Kerr kind of battled a little bit over a few days. And Curry publicly, which he never does, called for more pick and rolls and more control of the offense. They turned it back over to him. And Kevin Durant, the one good thing about, you know, Durant is he can do stuff so efficiently where you can only give him maybe 16 shots a game. He'll still get his 27 points. So, you know, Durant's taking a step back. Curry's been now, you know, he's still not what he was last year, which is 30 points per game and you know, shooting crazy. But he's back to, you know, more of a traditional, you know, statistical role. Draymond Green's probably taken somewhat of a dip in playmaking, but they play at such a high pace and they score so efficiently, score so many points per game that it really hasn't been that big a, you know, a drop-off for anyone statistically.
I want to talk to you about the guy you just mentioned in Draymond Green and how it is not only to cover him, but is it, and sometimes we call it out-of-town stupid or nationally stupid, do we make a bigger issue of the Draymond perceived problem that the Golden State Warriors have every once in a while than they do? Are they just used to it? They understand that this is going to be him and they move on to the next day?
Yeah, I think depends on which way you look at it. If you think like it's a huge problem in the locker room and how are they going to contain him, I don't think so. I think everyone there, it's such a kind of laid-back environment that Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, they've really kind of cultivated there where he battles and he yells. And, you know, obviously he's yelled a ton at Durant this season, but then he's, you know, watching the Super Bowl the next day with Kevin Durant. They're fine in that sense. Where they're a bit worried about Draymond, and he needs to be worried about himself, is just to make sure he doesn't get suspended or ejected in an important game. You know, he has a temper that sometimes goes over the edge. He almost got tossed in 2 straight games. He got tossed against the Kings, and then the next game after Steve Kerr hit, you know, they were sitting there talking about trying to contain themselves. He contained himself pretty much through 3 quarters of a Clipper game, and he got his 4th foul like mid-3rd quarter, and he just lost it, and they had to hold him back, and then he started yelling at Steve Kerr. And the problem is, if that happens in a game 4 of a, you know, West Finals, or, you know, obviously they have an example last year, game 5, he gets that final flagrant point that has him suspended for a huge game in that finals that in a lot of ways is the reason they don't have a championship. So I think they're fine with his personality. They just say, hey, you need to make sure you stay on the court in the most important moments of the season.
Anthony, what's it like to cover a coach who is willing to not stick to sports?
Awesome, because it makes my job easier. I got so much to write about. He's such a complex guy. I mean, I'm sure you guys kind of know his background with, you know, all the places he's lived and, you know, his father who was assassinated, way back in the day, you know, who was a Middle Eastern professor. And it's not just that he, you know, is willing to not stick to sports, but it's like he's so knowledgeable about the stuff, even off the record. I mean, you'll sit there and talk to him and he's talking about, like, you know, the issues going on in Syria, and, you know, he's informative to me where I'm not sitting here necessarily, you know, it's not a time where I can quote him to the rest of the world, but he's like a guy I go to for information to explain to me what's going on in the world at times, because he really is that, you know, knowledgeable about a lot of subjects. So that's been awesome. It obviously makes my job easier. He's willing to say anything. You mentioned Draymond earlier. I actually didn't answer the first part of your question. Draymond's been great to cover because, you know, that guy will let loose after losses. He's the best athlete I've ever covered after losses. Just with his willingness to, he can be in a bad mood, but he'll sit there and almost use it as a therapy session and talk for 4 or 5 minutes straight on an answer and tell you everything that happened and what were the issues. So it's really been cool to cover this team with some of the figures and their willingness to speak up.
Was there ever any pushback from the organization at all on either one of those things? I know that Draymond had ruffled some feathers with his podcast, and Steve's politics aren't for everybody. So were the Warriors, are they behind their people speaking out?
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been pushback from the organization. Look, Draymond's podcast is not canceled. He's still doing it every week. He'll still do it every week. He's the kind of guy who you can't really push back against because he will loudly, you know, go back against you on that. So they just kind of let him do what they do. They're not too concerned. I think with the politics side of it, with Kerr, he knows, and I've talked to them about this. I actually did a big story about it. He knows that he can't speak for everyone in the organization. And he tries not to go overboard. You know, CNN and all these people keep calling and wanting him to come on as a panelist, wanting him to come on and tell his story. And he's made sure to keep it pretty much just about basketball. If something happens, like, you know, when the travel ban happened recently, he was like, okay, I want to say something quick about this. So he'll come out and, like, make sure he has a statement basically about it. But he tries to not make it an everyday type thing where he's just going on soliloquies. Then he's going on CNN and talking about this and that. Mm-hmm. It's more just a once in a while thing.
Well, the Warriors ready for the turn nationally. They went from, and I saw it coming. I knew it was going to happen because they were doing things that nobody was allowed to do, you know, throwing up the threes and running down the court before they had went in, and they were the little cute, cuddly team. And then all of a sudden it started to turn like, okay, these guys are starting to aggravate a few people. Do you think that they were ready for it, or did the acquisition of Kevin Durant just add another layer to the storyline that they never really had to face?
Well, yeah, I mean, it did add a layer to the storyline. But like you said, it was before Durant. They had already kind of made that turn last season as they were chasing 73. I think some of them were ready for it. You know, we're talking about Draymond Green. I think he loves that. You know, he loves if the crowd's booing him or, you know, people are doubting him. I mean, you saw him talking trash to Paul Pierce the other day. It's just stuff like that. So I think he's fine with it. I think it's taken some time to adjust to it. I think the stuff that bothers Curry is not necessarily, oh, the media is saying this or that. It's more the former players. You know, Oscar Robertson's coming out and talking about how, you know, back in the day, you know, Curry would have been shut down, you know, or, you know, Charles Barkley. They've had all the organization's had a bunch of beefs with Charles Barkley, basically saying, oh, they're a jump shooting team. You can't win that way over the years. And then obviously Kevin Durant, in his own way, this season is the guy that's probably it's affected the most, just because he was such a, you know, wholesome, beloved superstar for a decade, where he basically had 100% approval rating across the country, where that has taken a massive decline since he decided to make this move. You know, him going back to Oklahoma City, just any time they play the Thunder, he kind of, you can just tell he's really stressed out about all of it. And, but it's something he's going to have to handle. He knew it was coming when he made the decision. They've tried to almost play into it. You know, they had a party early in the season where they had, like, they got super villain balloons, and they wear these shirts all the time. You know, you'll even see them at practice sometimes with shirts that say super villain. So they're almost trying to, like, use it as a joke. Like, see, look, we're embracing it. Probably so people kind of – they're trying to make people realize how ridiculous it is to, like, view a sports team as villains. But at the same time, I mean, it's nothing you really get used to.
Anthony Slater from the San Jose Mercury News talking to us about the Golden State Warriors here on the Holmes and Goff Show on 670 The Score. Anthony, the JaVale McGee thing, it got ugly, but I think it got ugly, about a month ago when the term minstrel show was thrown around on Twitter, and you got two guys, one high profile, one still playing in the NBA, going at it. How was it not just covering that, but seeing it unfold? Because there's only so much a guy can take after a while, and I don't blame JaVale McGee for lashing out necessarily the way he did, but it just turned out to be a bad look for both men in the NBA and TNT and the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, beefs, Twitter beefs, online beefs, it never looks good on either side, really. This is something that wasn't just this year. I mean, you can go back and watch, because he was named the Shaq and the Fool MVP twice back in his Nuggets days. And mm-hmm. I remember there was like a really awkward interview where JaVale went on TNT and like basically wouldn't talk to Shaq. And, you know, it's been like this for a while. I remember I did a story with him earlier in the season. I was just doing, hey, look, like a JaVale McGee trying to resurrect his career type story. And I mentioned Shaq and the Fool to him, and, he just went off on it for a few minutes about, how much he hated it. He thought it affected his career. I mean, he legitimately believes that he's, lost a lot of money because of the reputation that Shaq has, not purposefully placed on him, but just through that show. So that's kind of what,
he's been branded a goofball.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what kind of sets him off about it. And apparently they had recently reached out, and, they've let Shaq know, like, hey, look, he's trying to resurrect his career. He hasn't had these goofy moments this season. He's actually playing well, in his little role of just coming in and crushing in dunks once in a while. So they were thinking, and apparently they had almost been notified that Shaq was going to cool it. But then he basically comes out and does this elaborate, 3-minute skit. I don't know if you guys saw the actual segment.
Yeah.
It was like Dr. Strange. It was like a lifetime achievement type. Let's look at all of his bloopers over the years. And then, that kind of, as you said, set JaVale over the top. And then he went off on Twitter, and Shaq's not one to really back down. And, it got to kind of an ugly level where Steve Kerr and Kevin Durant really had to publicly come to JaVale's defense.
I'm curious, whenever we talk with someone who doesn't cover the Bulls every day and gets to kind of look at them from afar, on what the word is or what people are saying about the Bulls outside of Chicago. What are people saying?
That it's just a strange fit of the roster, just like a strange combination in this, spacing era to get two, 20-foot and in jump shooting type, scores with Butler and Wade, and then obviously the Rondo pickup. That when they went Rondo and Wade back to back, that just never seemed to make sense. But there's still kind of respect around the league from them, especially from players, just because like Dwayne Wade he immediately gets respect because he's a champion. Jimmy Butler, players love his style of play, that kind of just two-way, gritty. He'll play 45 minutes if a coach wants him to. So I think there's a level of respect. There's also a sense that things are not going well there, obviously, with all the stuff that's happened this season. And they're not considered any type of threat in the playoffs. But still, fun team. Like, if they're on TV, I'll gladly turn them on, and I like watching Wade and Butler, but you kind of know it's a weird fit that you're kind of expecting to get blown up at any time. And I didn't really like the trade they made. I covered Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City, which means I also covered Cameron Payne and some of the players they got. I wasn't very high on that deal. I don't know about you guys.
No, the deal sucked.
It's terrible.
Yeah. No, you're not going to get any flowers on that deal, Anthony. Before we let you go, how do the people of Oakland feel about the team making the jump across that bridge where it's a little bit, shinier, a little bit better real estate? Does Oakland feel like it's losing its team?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know how much you guys have been in Oracle, but that's kind of – it's a sacred place for a lot of people in the East Bay. And, you know, my colleague Marcus Thompson wrote a really good lengthy column on it that, you know, he said it way better than me. He's from Oakland. He kind of really understands the background and roots there. And it's not just that the Warriors are moving and going to, like you said, sparkly San Francisco. And there's it's going to make them a ton more money. So it makes sense from a financial standpoint. Right. But you have that happening at the same time that, you know, the Raiders are threatening and trying to move to Vegas. And, you know, the A's are in a weird place where they're trying to find a new stadium. They're going to stay in the East Bay. It's very likely. But just that's the third of the three teams, basically, especially right now with the Raiders are kind of on an upswing and the Warriors are what the Warriors are. So Oakland's sitting there saying, look, we finally are in a place where the Raiders and the Warriors are, you know, really good at the same time. But at that exact same time, one's moving to San Francisco. The other one is just, you know, trying its hardest to get out of the area. It's kind of weird, a weird bittersweet moment for the East Bay.
Anthony, thanks for you so much for your time, man. We really appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's Anthony Slater from the San Jose Mercury News. Those are first world problems when your top four, top five player has a tibia and a hyperextension issue.
And you have a team that's been to the finals without him for the last 2 years.
Right. You still got Steph, you still got Clay, you still got Draymond. And JaVale actually has been playing some pretty decent ball.
Shooting like 65% from the floor.
Dunking everything.
And for his career, I mean, I think he's over 55% for his career. You know what was interesting while we were talking with Anthony, what I thought about, and I don't know if there's even a good comp for this. Is there any other team in baseball where we know more about the parents than the Golden State Warriors?
Basketball.
Sports.
Oh.
Think about it.
What do you mean?
We know JaVale's mom.
Oh, yeah.
We know Kevin's mom. Mm-hmm. We know both of Steph's parents. Mm-hmm. We know Clay's parents.
But basketball has that thing where the parents are, for whatever reason, the parents are more visible. You know, football-wise, yeah, you got introduced to Donovan's mom because the Campbell's soup commercials, right? But
sure.
Other than that, and Campbell's did that whole thing with the moms. I believe there was a couple other moms who were involved in that campaign as well.
Yeah, baseball. Matt Hasselbeck's mom. Yeah. We were flirting with her at the Super Bowl. Yeah. Matt walked away from the interview because we were flirting with his mom.
Baseball, not so much, right? You don't see mothers on the scene too much.
No.
Gordon Beckham's mom was a nice lady, but we only knew her because locally we knew Gordon Beckham.
Well, Hawk would shout out Gordon Beckham's parents every now and again.
Yeah, basketball. And, I mean, basketball, it's a different vibe because those parents are involved so much, I think, because of AAU. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to leave your kids to the AAU system only. You know, whereas maybe with travel baseball, I know some people are going to text them, oh, no, the same thing happens with travel baseball. But, you know, you feel probably a little bit more comfortable with the coaches in travel baseball than you do some of these AAU guys. Basketball, it's a good question.
Maybe hockey might be the closest.
That's only because we know the Blackhawks send the dads on a trip every year.
Well, so they do the dad trip.
In Vegas.
And they do the mom trip.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do that with other teams. I have to pay a little bit closer attention, but I just think it's interesting. Like, that's a story where almost half the team,
the whole crew,
you kind of know everybody's parent. You know, like that becomes part of covering the team.
Well, we got introduced to JaVale's mom that All-Star weekend. Where she was a part of the dunk contest, and Dr. J was one of the judges, and Doctor was admiring the cut of one Pam McGee's dress.
Yep.
Laid a little smooch on her.
Yeah, well, we know that he's a fan of that.
Oh, no doubt.
All over the world.
The wandering doctor. All right, I'm going to stop. 312-644-6767.
Daughter played tennis, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one that he met on Oprah with Larry Bird. Folks, forget about that.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They just don't think about it often.
What do you always say about Tom Brady?
Yeah, the most famous baby daddy in America.
Mm-hmm.
See, I ain't going to do that to the doctor. He wasn't doing anything to anybody.
Why? That's why, why he shaved his beard and mustache?
You think he was running from somebody? The old you got served.
I'm just saying. And then there he was on Oprah. And then she was on Oprah. I'm like, oh, that's messed up.
Yeah, you know damn good, man. Top of the hour, we will talk to Greg Gabriel. We'll chop it up with him. Some combine stuff. Look at everybody nationwide jumping on the old Joe Mixon story today. I saw that this morning. The Detroit Lions general manager spoke about how it was doing a disservice to the team. So we'll talk to him about that. I know Greg Gabriel has Joe Mixon ranked pretty low in terms of the running backs in the Pro Football Weekly 2017 draft guide. We'll talk to him about some Bears needs, some other things along the way. He's Lawrence Holmes, and for Dan Bernstein, I'm Jason Goff. You're listening to the Holmes and Goff Show on 670 The Score.
Chicago's number one sports morning show is Mully and Hanley, live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute. Detroit Lions GM Bob Quinn has taken some heat after openly questioning the NFL's decision to keep Joe Mixon out of the NFL scouting combine. Quinn, in his media availability on Wednesday, took up for players like Mixon and Chad Kelly, who were kept away from Indianapolis because of their off-the-field troubles. Fact is, I have zero sympathy for Mixon when it comes to him not being there, and none for NFL teams when it comes to making it harder for them to evaluate him. There'll be plenty of other opportunities for them to evaluate this guy, and if by the time the draft rolls around, they feel like they didn't get a good enough chance to evaluate him, then you don't draft him. Attending the combine is not a right. It's an invitation. And I have no problem with the league saying, if somebody breaks four bones in a woman's face, we're not inviting him. That's not a very bad night. That's a very bad guy. I'm Jim Rome.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly, Chicagoland's home loan expert. There's a lot of choices out there when it comes to refinancing or buying a home. What makes the home loan expert team the best? Well, that's easy. Lower rates, better loans, no out-of-pocket cost, and you can skip a few months of mortgage payments. Refinancing or buying a home? Why would you go anywhere else? Call me directly, 773-770-4727. Or you can always apply online at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC. Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee.
Over 3 million businesses use Indeed.com for hiring. Five times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. By creating the easiest, most effective hiring experience, we help businesses find great new people every day. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
High efficiency, high performance, high tech. The next generation of appliances at the Home Depot is everything except high priced. Right now, save 10% on top brands like Samsung, Whirlpool, Maytag, and Amana. They're loaded with features that make them smarter, more efficient, and easier to use. And we're making them easier to afford. Nobody beats our prices, guaranteed. So upgrade today and save 10%, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last, valid through March 8th.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break-even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Play.it is your new podcast network for award-winning news programming and number one sports brands to entertainment and business leaders.
Welcome! We're gonna make you laugh, we're gonna make you think.
Give you that news and information.
Pop culture, reality TV.
What's happening in business today?
Relationships, dating.
The biggest names in sports.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
You wanna see something entertaining? Tune in.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
This week in music history.
This week in 1968, Elton John's first single, I've Been Loving You Too Long, was released and didn't chart. Frankie Lymon was found dead of a suspected drug overdose at age 25 that same week. The CD was launched by Sony, Philips, and PolyGram this week in 1983. This week in 1993, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown became parents when Bobby Christina was born. Justin Bieber was born this week in 1994. That same week, Nirvana played their final ever concert. This week in 1995, the Foo Fighters made their live debut. It's like this and like that and like this. Death Row Records boss Suge Knight was sentenced to 9 years in prison for violating his probation this week in 1997. This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London. This week in 1995, Dusty Springfield died after a long battle with cancer at age 59. MC Hammer became a preacher this week in 2000. This week in 2002, the first episode of The Osbournes TV show aired on MTV. And this week in 2012, Davy Jones, singer with the Monkees, died at age 66 after suffering a massive heart attack.
670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Abaticola. The second-place Wolves are home Sunday. Meet your favorite superhero characters and mascots. The first 1,500 kids get a cape courtesy of the Village of Rosemont. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Bulls, they host Golden State tonight. Tip-off is at 7. The Warriors playing without Kevin Durant. The Bulls are sitting at 30-30 and hold on to the seventh spot in the East, just a game and a half ahead of Detroit. The Warriors are 50-10. They've won 7 of their last 10, but they're coming off a road loss to the Wizards. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs officially signed Andrew Bogut. In hockey, the Blackhawks, they're off today. They host the Islanders tomorrow. Patrick Kane has 10 points in his last 5 games, including a hat trick in last night's 4-1 win over Pittsburgh. AHL, the Wolves host Cleveland Saturday night. Major League Baseball, a couple spring training games going on. Cubs and Reds are scoreless in Goodyear. It's in the top of the second. Rob Zastrzyzny pitching that one. Jason Hayward leading off today. Later tonight, Jake Buchanan takes the mound for the Cubs. Almora, Baez, and Bryan batting 1-2-3. Montero behind the plate. First pitch at 8:10. The White Sox right now lead the Giants 4-0 after a 4-hit, 4-run first inning. Danny Hayes with the big bomb, a 3-run double. Derek Holland making his spring debut for the White Sox. Also, Red Sox starter David Price is getting a second opinion on his elbow from Dr. James Andrews. Are you hiring? Well, join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. It's go time at Dunkin' Donuts. Get your day going with 2 wake-up wrap sandwiches for $2. Enjoy 2 egg and cheese wake-up wraps and add bacon, sausage, or ham for $1 more. Perfect with a rich, smooth Dunkin' coffee. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Welcome back to the Bernstein and Goff Show. Lawrence Holmes is in for Dan Bernstein over the next few days. Just hanging out with you right here on 670 The Score. 670thescore.com and also watch 670thescore.com if you're watching on the Facebook Live. We appreciate you as well. You can see all the American Needle stuff in here. All the hats, the Sox hats, the Blackhawks hats, the Cubs hats. Everything right there for you. Lawrence is wearing his Red Sox hat.
This is dope, man.
Getting around that time, man. My lady asked me, she was like, what are we going to do with all the hats in the front of the house? And I'm like, well, they're about to get worn. Kidding me? Spring's around the corner. I'm reading all the spring training stuff now, too. I'm like, I'm ready to roll.
Are you guys going down?
Yeah, we'll be down there March 13th through the 15th. So we'll get two shows in. And
I think I'm going the week after you guys.
Oh, nice.
I think I'm going the 22nd.
Cool. Yeah. Go down there to my favorite Mexican spot, The Mission, hanging out for a little bit, get ourselves some fine tequila, and hopefully not have the interaction that we had last year.
What happened?
Well, we got on a golf cart, and we asked a guy to take us to, a shoe modeling establishment, and he drove us for about 45 minutes in a golf cart while it was about, I'd say what, like 50?
100 degrees?
No. It was about 50 degrees.
It was windy as hell.
Yeah, it was nice and cool.
Yeah,
Jay had the worst time of his life. Spiegel got lost in the back room for an hour. Me and Shep were just, trying to down the bad drinks as we were so sad. It was questioning
our own lives.
Yeah, it was not the first experience that I would have wanted from a man Jay Zawoski in one of those kind of establishments. It was all bad.
I always all bad. Tell people that if they have the means, that spring training is so great.
Yeah, it's a great trip.
It's baseball without consequences. Like, you can just kind of enjoy the sights, mm-hmm, and the sounds of the game, and you can have fun just being out there.
And all the complexes are so close to each other. You got the Giants complex right down there. You see a bunch of Giants fans walking around. You got, the Sox and the Dodgers. They still share the complex, right?
Forever.
And of course, Sloan Park is absolutely beautiful.
And it used to be, like, we were just excited when they built Sloan Park. Mm-hmm. And now, like, that campus, mm-hmm, around there is
crazy.
Unreal. You can have such a good time, and it's Chicago Southwest, because there's a Portillo's down the block, like they're moving everything down, mm-hmm, everything Chicago, mm-hmm, they're moving down to the Mesa area so that people can feel comfortable. And it's so funny to me that it's Cubs and Sox are like on opposite sides of the planet. Like, farther away there than they are here.
Yeah.
And it's probably about 40-45 minutes to get to Glendale.
Yeah.
Even with no traffic, it's a bit of a hike. But I'm looking forward to getting down there and seeing, watching the metamorphosis of what it is to be a Cub and what it is to be a Cub fan over the last 3 years has been fascinating. And like last year when I was there, to see them put up the manager of the year, rookie of the year, like, you start to see some of those billboards that you expect with other teams. And here it is, the Cubs. And to now, the trophy's been down there, and it's the world champion Cubs that you have to talk about.
You're seeing a lot of sweatshirts and a lot of t-shirts with different things on them. You're seeing the World Series champion walking around very proud.
Right.
Very proud.
You're not walking around with what would Theo call it? The defending third place.
Right. Right,
champion,
right, exactly.
Cubs T-shirt.
You know,
we made it in
with the big head. Hawk Dawson and Ryne Sandberg. Like the old school cartoonist shirts, where it's like your favorite guys, and he's swinging a bat. No, you're walking around with that 2016 World Series champion Chicago Cubs stuff on.
And the way that Sloan Park is set up, if you've never been there, there's the complex where they work out, and their weight room is. The weight room is pornographic if you're someone who's into that. It's really well done.
Yeah.
And then there's a walk that the players make from the complex over to the field. And they, last year when I was there, there was like a tent city.
Yeah, the fans set up right there and say hello to all of them.
It's
the guys
great.
Walking over.
Yeah. Like, it's a really wonderful experience. And it's a very strange thing because there's so many snowbirds that live out in the Phoenix area. You don't feel out of place. It just seems like, oh, I'm going to go over to the ballpark and go check out what's going on with the Cubs. It feels very at home. So if you ever get the chance, and it doesn't have to be the Cubs. I would imagine you would go down there, but they sell out all the time down there. But
get yourself a Giants ticket.
Yeah, go to the ballpark in Scottsdale and check out what's going on with the Giants. Take a trip to a place where you wouldn't ordinarily go, like go out to Peoria. Where the Rangers are, right? Go out to Peoria and just check out a ballpark. I'm also like, I'm a geek for this type of stuff. I love Arizona Fall League. Like, I love going out there in October and November and just watching a little bit of baseball. And it's amazing the type of players you got to see. I got to see Bryce Harper at AFL, 17, mm-hmm, 17 years old, and he's playing in AFL, and people are like talking to him during the game. That sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a different kind of interaction.
It's a cool vibe. It's a very cool thing for a fan.
Yeah. And you can, make yourself a nice little trip where, You hang out for 3 or 4 days, or if you want to make the Vegas bend too, if you want to rent a car and drive yourself somewhere. I mean, there's a lot that can be.
You're 4 hours from Vegas. You're 4 hours from L.A. You're 4 hours from San Diego. It's a good place to post up.
And that was Lawrence Holmes for the Board of Commerce for the state of Arizona. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's go out to Grays Lake. That's where Blake is. What's up, Blake?
Hey, guys. Big fan. Love what you guys do.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment on the why we see more NBA parents than, like, any other sport. Not only because it's smaller rosters, I think, but I also believe because of the proximity. Like, that's one of the only sports, if not the only sport, where you can turn around and, like, hug your parent if you're on the bench. Like, pretty much you can see them right behind you if they're sitting behind you.
I dig it. That's true.
Yeah.
It's more open because, I mean, the NBA stadiums are a lot of times the NHL stadiums, but there's a big glass partition keeping you from. And usually, like, you see the NBA parents down near the floor,
right, floor
where
seats.
The NHL parents are usually in a box.
Yeah, and the NFL parents have to be famous. You know, you got to be Archie Manning or something like that for the camera to get on you anytime.
Or so, you have to be crazy. Like, you have to be going crazy the crowd.
For
the cameras to come. You have to develop a persona to get noticed.
You have to have a daddy cam. You know, if you've got that guy where you can't get enough of his, you know, histrionics during a football game, then the producer keeps a camera on him, but there aren't too many guys like that.
I didn't mean for us to kind of stumble onto this, but since both of us have spent time covering different sports, you covering more basketball, me covering more football, the way that I've always seen it with football is that players are very protective of their family in football, where they don't want people knowing where their family's sitting.
No doubt.
They don't want their family to have, they don't want them to deal with any mess because of what might happen. It does not seem to be that way. There seems to be a respect for family members for the most part. I mean, there are clearly exceptions, especially in this town, but there are clearly exceptions to it, but it seems like there's more respect for family members of players in basketball.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the atmosphere is more aggressive in a football stadium. You know, you've got that whole gladiator feel that's happening on the field anyway. And then in the stands, you've got people getting hammered or tailgate. Like, people don't tailgate with basketball. So the nature of the fans that are entering a venue, I mean, you've got your one game a week. You've been building up to it throughout the week. So whether it be that anxiety or the trash talking or whatever's happening, and don't let it be a big game on top of that, that aggressive nature can sometimes turn. Whereas with basketball, you know, it's going to happen 3 times a week. There's 82 of them, you know, 41 at home. If you've got that kind of, you know, you know, that kind of steel reserve that you could heckle somebody's parents over and over again. And I think basketball fans are more likely to speak up because of, you know, the number of people. You know, you're in an enclosed situation. The sound doesn't escape. You can't just screen something over and over again and people not know it's you. Yeah, football fans, that's the thing, man. My father used to take me to games and take me and the family to games, and you know, we saw a couple of fights every once in a while, and it was like, all right, man, this, you know, we don't have to do this. You know, the aggressive nature that is bottled up in a football game or football stadium is a lot different. And baseball doesn't have that. You know, it doesn't seem like it has that. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, you have the Dodgers and the Giants fans who almost killed each other a couple of years ago. Guy got put into a coma because he got knocked senseless. But yeah, I think football's got a different vibe, a different kind of aggression level that their fans have more so than basketball and even so baseball.
It's just interesting how the familial ties to a game that we sometimes don't give a lot of credit for the familial ties. Like it's a really interesting juxtaposition for me. Like how much a parent in the NBA can be a part of the story, or a parent in basketball can be as big a part of the story as they can versus other sports. It's just, when we were talking with Anthony, it just kind of struck me because every one of those guys pretty much has a story involving one of their parents.
Right, whether it be a famous dad like Michael Thompson and Dell Curry, or whether it be...
But think about, we know Sonya.
That's what I'm saying. Either way, you know, you do.
We know Sonya because we saw Sonya go crazy at the NCAA tournament, and she still goes crazy now
at
games.
Shout out to Sonya.
For real, for real. for real, shout out to Sonya.
Look like freedom and opulence and just greatness.
Yep.
Just let it warm over you. You know? I'm gonna stop thinking about it now. It got weird here for a second.
Just for a second, though.
No, dude. And think about what we've been talking about the last couple of days or last week or so with LeVar Ball. You know, Lonzo Ball and LiAngelo Ball and LaMelo Ball's dad. And I think I've been coming at this thing the wrong way. And it's not that somebody else has talked me into it, but thinking about what they know as a group and how much he is stepping in now and what he's telling people about how he wants to make them a brand. Now, not only is he putting more pressure on his kids, but I think that's all they know. And if you think about it, he's been the one that has been cultivating this thing for a long time and has gotten them to the point where they, you know, one of the kids is going to be a top three draft pick. The other one's going to be, you know, one of the more revered freshmen at UCLA next year. And what is it, 2 years from now, the other guy, and if I hope he grows a little bit because he's a small kid, but he's going to be one of the best point guards in the game as well. Like asking a father what you want for your kids, and you say, okay, I want them to be the best at their craft, and I also want them to be mindful of their business. I think how loudly he's putting it across is bothering a lot of people, and I also question some of the things that he said. But yeah, he's a father that's definitely involved because he sees that, you know, he says he wants a joint venture, and the only person who's ever had that ever is Michael Jordan. It's the only guy who's ever had that with a sneaker company. Not LeBron, not Kobe. He said he doesn't want an endorsement. He wants marketing and distribution, which is, you know, you better have a Jordan-like talent.
Correct.
Because if LeBron and Kobe can't get that and Kevin Durant can't get that, you know, I don't know if the next Jason Kidd is going to be able to get that. But that's all they know, and that's all he's been for them their entire lives. So a lot of people see him as, you know, kind of, you know, infringing on territory that these kids should just be nurtured and allowed to be their own men. But he's kind of made them the men that they are.
I think of it in the same realm as the Williams sisters, yeah. where you had a dad that was
overbearing.
But look,
end result, right?
Those girls have never been in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, I gotta tell you, man, I know we're not really talking. I feel so bad for Venus because she's so great.
Yeah, she's terrific.
And you know, it's
she's just not the greatest.
Right.
Right.
Your sister's the greatest, but like when you look at what Venus has accomplished in her career,
it's outstanding.
And she's rolling with the Immortals too.
I don't even want to hit her because that's the thing. I don't want to hit her with the somebody's got to be Taylor Griffin, but you know.
Well, she's not Taylor Griffin.
That's why I didn't hit her with it.
She's Jermaine Jackson. All right, maybe she's not Jermaine.
Just greasy.
Why?
Just anytime Jermaine, like Chris Rock said, anytime Jermaine's on the screen, you just want to throw a bag of sand on your TV just to soak up all the grease. Lawrence Holmes is in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Jason Goff. You're listening to 670 The Score.
The Score is celebrating 25 years as the voice of the fan. It couldn't have continued for 25 years without you, the Score listener. Thank you, Chicago. From Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Over 3 million businesses use Indeed.com for hiring. 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. By creating the easiest, most effective hiring experience, we help businesses find great new people every day. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Put hospice eligibility guidelines and fast, secure referrals at your fingertips. Download the free VITAS healthcare app from the Apple Store or Google Play. Just search VITAS, V-I-T-A-S.
High efficiency, high performance, high tech. The next generation of appliances at the Home Depot is everything except high priced. Right now, save 10% on top brands like Samsung, Whirlpool, Maytag, and Amana. They're loaded with features that make them smarter, more efficient, and easier to use. And we're making them easier to afford. Nobody beats our prices, guaranteed. So upgrade today and save 10%, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last, valid through March 8th.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break-even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Play.it is your new podcast network for top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Jim Rome.
Holy Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
The industrial strength nation.
Let's get to some news here.
The updates, the scores, lots happening.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
This is the big league.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
This week in music history.
What do you mean?
Justin Bieber was born this week in 1994. That same week, Nirvana played their final ever concert. This week in 1995, the Foo Fighters made their live debut.
It's like this and like that and like this.
Death Row Records like boss Suge Knight was sentenced to 9 years in prison for violating his probation this week in 1997.
My son's going to be a Laker. I said, because I'm lucky like that. He's going to be a Laker. I'm going to speak it into existence. Here's the thing. Zoe will fit with anybody. But usually when he comes to a team, he pushes everybody into their right spots. That's the same thing he did with UCLA. Everybody got to go to their right spots, and now it's flowing real good. He'll do the same thing with a pro team.
That's LeVar Ball, father of Lonzo Ball. Fabulous freshman, phenomenal player at UCLA. You'll see him in the tournament this year, turning heads compared to Jason Kidd. A little bit skinnier than Jason was after his freshman year at Cal. Lawrence Holmes is in for Dan Bernstein here on the Bernstein and Golf Show. 670 The Score, 670thescore.com, and watch 670thescore.com. We stumble upon this parents and parental guidance in sports and how well you know people's parents in sports and the Golden State Warriors, and we tied that all in and just kind of rolled with it. By the way, shout out to Northwestern last night for that, not only the play, but understanding the mismatch and having the Pardon kid explain to Stephen Bardo, who was on the midday show, what exactly happened there, setting a screen earlier on in the play and then slipping that screen, and then all of a sudden you got a tiny, you know, was a kid, Derek Walton Jr. is covering Pardon right there.
He pushed off a little bit, but yes, who cares?
Did. It happened earlier in the game, too. There's like 4 minutes left in the second half where the same kind of switch happened where Walton Jr. was covering Pardon right underneath the basket. Pardon pushes him a little bit, discards him, and lays it up right there.
A perfect throw by Taphorn.
Terrific play.
I don't know if he played any high school football, but it sure seemed like it, because it was right there for him. So congrats to Northwestern. Congrats to Illinois, who has played themselves.
Dude,
they're on the bubble. I've talked to a couple of people who do brackets, and right now they're in. Like, they're not even first four out. They're last four in.
I thought Illinois had done me the favor of not having to watch them like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago because of how poor they were playing. And all of a sudden, John Gross has turned that thing around. You beat a Michigan State team that's always ready to play. The Fighting Illini, Malcolm Hill, senior night, you know, has another terrific game. And
he's a great player. Mm-hmm. And from everyone that I've talked to about Illini Buckets, he's a really good person.
Yeah, seems
and that,
like it.
Do you realize that he's still, with a couple games left in his senior year, he could end up third all time in scoring at the University of Illinois?
All right, now.
Third.
Now I got to try to guess who's first and second. Deion Thomas?
I'm guessing Deion Thomas. I don't even know.
Shep?
I know who's third, though.
Well, obviously, you know who's third. It's Malcolm Hill.
Well, no, not yet.
Oh, I thought you said he
okay. He has a chance.
All right.
He needed, going into last night, he needed 12 points to go into fourth place.
Okay.
To pass Brian Cook.
Oh, wow.
and he needed 76 points.
Last one to pass.
To go ahead of this guy.
Who's that? Oh.
Recent era Illini.
Frank?
Same era.
McGamey? No. Frank Williams. Who'd Frank play with? Not Kiwan. No. Kiwan was before Frank. I don't know.
D. Brown.
D. Brown. Is that right?
I think that's right. Let me check.
What do you mean?
Hang on.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You just pulled a Spiegel on me. You just going to throw out some trivia out there and not have the ironclad answer?
No, I have the answer. Shep,
you got to find for me top five scores all time. 76
points away from D. Brown.
Oh, okay. D had an instance where he was going to be like assistant to the athletic director and then had to step down and something like that. He was back in the fold and all of a sudden he had to go away for some reason or another.
I really wish that, and I hate to do this on the air, but I just will tell you that I'm a little frustrated with us being the flagship for the University of Illinois. I really wish they would make their people available, whether it's Lovey or John Gross or Josh Whitman. Mm. I really wish they would make their folks available. They have a really good story going on with this basketball team right now. And I know that it can be a little bit awkward because everyone expects that if they don't make the tournament, they'll end up firing John Gross. But it would be nice to talk to them about the good that is actually happening. Mm-hmm. Full house at senior night last night. You have a kid like Malcolm Hill who probably deserves a little bit more love than what he's getting here in Chicago. And I don't know why they don't want to make people available. It doesn't. It bugs me. Like, it really, really bugs me.
Especially with the new and different energy this station has over correct. The last couple of years.
I will just say that I want Illini fans to know that we are actually trying to get them on. It's not like we've said, oh, we're not going to put any of those people on. Yeah. But, I mean, even at the beginning of the football season where I wanted to talk to Lovie Smith about what he's going to do as a way to help sell his program and talk to him about the transition. And it was always something. There was always something that he wasn't going to do anything outside of his coach's show or this, that, and the other. And I just think that they do the athletic program down there in Champaign a disservice by not wanting to bridge that gap between Champaign and Chicago. And I've never understood it. I've talked to folks down there. Mm-hmm. I've never understood why there is this chasm, and what they've allowed to happen in that chasm is for people up here to go, well, you know, Northwestern is right down the road. You know, those of us
Northern
and their football Illinois program. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dan Muller, by the way, of Illinois State, named Valley Coach of the Year. I'm going down to St. Louis to go watch Illinois State because I think they've already won the Valley outright, but I think they're going to win the Valley tournament. And the Valley will send two teams. I think them and Wichita State will end up going to the tournament. But I just wish that they would try. You know, like Shep reached out to them today. And mm-hmm. have Big you even win. Heard anything back yet?
No response.
That's insane. That to me is insane.
After a win like that.
After a huge win.
Or flip the script. Maybe they don't want to promote what's going on. Maybe they are trying to get rid of their coach and they don't need him talking about how good or how well the team is playing, I should say.
Put a request in for the athletic director too.
Yeah, and he
maybe he doesn't want to be asked the question that I would ask.
Like a PR Goff over here.
I'm saying.
No, I get you.
Cuz you know what question is going to be asked if they come on, especially if Josh Whitman comes on.
Well, let me give him
is
the
he
answer.
Secure in, Here's the answer. In his job.
We evaluate everything at the end of every season. There's his answer. Yeah. I just gave him the answer that he can okay. use.
All right, so now you can come on.
But the thing is that everyone that I know who's talked to Whitman really likes him. And folks that are fans of the university's athletic department really like the direction that he's going. I'd love to talk to him about that. You know, I'd love to talk to him about what's going on. I spent some time down there earlier this fall calling the 5A and 6A state championship games. Their facilities are great. I'd love to talk to him about all of those things.
He's Lawrence Holmes. He's in for Dan Bernstein. I'm Jason Goff. We'll talk to Greg Gabriel next.
Hiring is a great sign that your business is doing well. And because you're succeeding, it's natural to work with others at the top of their game. As the world's number one job site, Indeed.com has more than 200 million visitors a month and delivers more hires than Monster, Craigslist, and LinkedIn combined. And we can deliver for you. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London.
High efficiency, high performance, high tech. The next generation of appliances at the Home Depot is everything except high-priced. Right now, save 10% on top brands like Samsung, Whirlpool, Maytag, and Amana. They're loaded with features that make them smarter, more efficient, and easier to use. And we're making them easier to afford. Nobody beats our prices. Guaranteed. So upgrade today and save 10%. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last, valid through March 8th.